The following is a song class given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 18th, 2008, in Auckland, New Zealand.
When I was in Atlanta in 1975, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada did some very special thing he wasn't doing in those days. That is, he taught us a song. We had a song class. And it was very, very nice. Very, very sweet. So, I will teach you the song as Prabhupada taught it to us. Tonight we will have song class. We wait for everyone else to come. It's a nice way to fill in the time. Depends how expert they are. But anyway, you'll hear the melody. If nothing else, you'll hear the Prabhupada melody, and we'll read the purport and discuss the meaning of the song. So there's no loss. If you can follow along, that is very nice. And if you're not able to follow along, then just listen and enjoy, and then you can hear the explanation. So in this way, in a very simple way, it's not the normal boom, 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 boom beat. It's boom, 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 boom beat. I don't know if you're an expert drummer, then you can probably just follow. I'll just do it with my hands. Parama karuna pohundvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Parama Karuna Pohundvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Sabhavatar Sada Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda Savavatar Sada Shiromani Kevala Nanda Kanda Parama Karuna Pohundvijana Nitai Gorda Chandra Parama Karuna Pohundvijana Nitai Gorda Chandra Baja Baja Bai Baja Baja Bai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Bishbasha Kori Baja Baja Bai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Bishbasha Kori Vishaya Chadiya Seda se majia muke bolo hari hari Vishaya chariya Seda se majia muke bolo hari hari Parama karuna pohundvijana Nitai gorda chandra Parama karuna pohundvijana Nitai gorda chandra Dekari bai Dribhuvane nai E mona dayala datta Dekari bai Dribhuvane nai E mona dayala datta Pashu paki jure, pashana vidare, shuni jada guna gata. Pashu paki jure, pashana vidare, shuni jada guna gata. Padma karuna pohundvijana, nitai gorda chandra. Padma karana pohundvijana Nitai gorda chandra Sangsare Majiya Rohili Padiya Se Padana Hilo Vasha Sangsaya Majiya Rohili Padiya Se Padena Hilo Vasha Apana Karama Bunjaye Samana Kohoye Lochana Dasa Apana Karama Bunjaye Samana Kohoye Lochana Dasa Padama Koduna Bohun Vijana Nitai Gorda Chandra Padama Koduna Bohun Vijana Nitai Gorda Chandra Nitai Gorda Chandra Nitai Gorda Chandra. So this very wonderful song is written by a great Vaishnava Acharya. His name is Lochan Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada has given a very, very nice purport to this song as follows. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Dvijana means true. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nitai Gorachandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. Parama Karuna. Saba Avatar Sarashiramani. Avatar means incarnation, and Saba means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lord Chandas requests everyone, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction, Vishvasha Kori. But what is the process? The process is Vishayachadiya Seyada Seymajiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
without
Hare
any...
Ram, Ram,
without any motive of sense gratification. Deko ore bhai, tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there was no one like Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even the birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer and all other animals join him in chanting Hare Krishna. Can you imagine the snakes chanting Hare Krishna? Lord Chaitanya inspired the snakes to chant Hare Krishna. So if even the snakes can chant, even if we are snakes, we can also chant. and all other animals join him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings, of course. It is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even the stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you were so entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has explained very nicely this song by Lochan Das Thakur. According to this understanding, if anyone is not attracted to this movement, they are under the curse of Yamaraj. So we have to free people from the curse of Yamaraj by letting him get a taste for this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, chanting. It was really a wonderful evening. Prabhupada, two evenings in a row, he gave a song class on this mantra. The first night, no one knew the words, so the second night, we had song sheets. It was very special. Prabhupada simply played kartals. And there was no madanga. Prabhupada just all alone played kartal. And then so many of us were recording with our cassette players. And Prabhupada asked that someone could play back their recording, but I wouldn't. I thought, I'll let somebody else follow that order. I'm not going to obey that order of my spiritual master. I'll let somebody else obey it. Because he just needed one of us to do it, you see. He didn't ask me specifically. I thought, I will keep recording this. So I kept my tape recorder going. And then Prabhupada listened to a tape of himself singing it along with his own kartal playing. And then he sat there and just played the drum to the accompaniment of his own tape for all of us. And I recorded the whole thing, and I still have that tape. It's been sitting there for 30 years. I'm going to try to have it mastered and put on a CD sometime soon, so everybody can enjoy the sweet song class of Prabhupada and how he played madanga with his own cassette recording of this song. Hope the tape is still good. But I still have the tape in here. Unforgettable evening. It was so nice to be there with Srila Prabhupada. The experiencing the emotions of bhakti. I remember we were all very inspired. My temple president, his wife was pregnant at the time, and he was so inspired by the song that when the child came, they named him Parama Karuna. We were all the devotees were very, very inspired by this, singing this song with Prabhupada, Parama Karuna. It's a very, very special thing. There's no one more merciful than these two lords. So, how to absorb ourselves in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, that is the Krishna consciousness movement, you see. How to fully dive into that ocean of their transcendental blessings so that we are always living in the shower of their mercy 24 hours a day, whether at the temple, whether in the commute, whether at the office, whether the line at the grocery store, the doctor's office, the dentist office, wherever we are, you see. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness movement. To always be diving deep into that ocean of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So this song is very helpful. How to capture that mercy of the Lord. By remembering this wonderful song by Lodshan Das Thakur, we can be blessed with that mercy. So I think we can begin the lecture now. Or is there more coming? We should wait. Five or 10 minutes more. All right. Does anyone have any questions? Can try to answer. Questions? Even if you don't have question, it is also, you can ask questions for the benefit of others. Yeah.
I was at your classes today. I really was when you were saying about this aeroplane mantra.
I'm hard of hearing, speaker.
The mantra aeroplane example you gave yesterday in the class?
Yes, yeah.
Can you just elaborate on that?
He wants me to elaborate on the mantra aeroplane example I gave in the class. Yes. Of course, the airplane is very practical because now with the cost of fuel, the Qantas is going to become more and more expensive. See? But Hare Krishna mantra airplane, the price will never go up. You see, the price is always the same. So there's a great advantage to flying Hare Krishna instead of Qantas, you see. The ticket is simply your faith. If you have faith in the name, that's all that's required. Simply faith. Shraddha. If you have faith in this name, then it will carry you beyond the coverings of this material universe into that transcendental abode where Lord Shri Krishna and Srimati Radharani are engaged in their eternal loving pastimes. All you have to do is fly this airplane, just like you fly. We just flew from on Qantas up here from Christchurch, you see. And it wasn't very pleasant, you know, you're stuffed, you know, those little, the seats are so tight, and then, you know. It was, I tried to do some emails there, but they couldn't even open the screen up because the seats, you know, there's not room, not enough room to even open your computer and do any work without kind of like going like that. So the Hare Krishna mantra airplane is much better than Qantas or these other airlines, you see. Because it will carry you beyond this world of birth and death, back into your original eternal identity. You see, all of us have a swarup. It's Prabhupada describes this, even though this is very high-level knowledge. It's described in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. It is known as swarup siddhi. Each and every one of us sitting in this room tonight and every living entity throughout the totality of existence, they actually have a swarup, an eternal identity in the spiritual world. We've forgotten what it is. You see, we've been covered by all these false identities, you see. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an Indian, I'm a Kiwi, I'm an Aussie, you know. We get covered by all these identities. I'm a human, I'm a tree, I'm a dog, I'm a cat. We get covered by all these false identities for millions and millions of lifetimes. And so we get further and 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 further away from our original identity in the spiritual world. And you get the idea. So it's a very difficult position we're in right now, you see. We've gotten so far away from our actual identity. And this is the very first thing when Lord Chaitanya met with Sanatana Goswami to instruct him in the basic principles of devotional service. What was the very first thing he told him? Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nichidav. The very first thing that Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami, you see, that the constitutional position of the living entity is he is eternal servant of Krishna. So each and every one of us have a svarup as Krishna's servant. Jivara svarupa hoy. You see, the original form of the living entity is he is eternal servant of Krishna. Each and every one of us has that svarup. in a particular relationship with the Lord. We're all of the same Swarup. We all have the same Swarup. We're all the eternal servants of Krishna. That means we're all inhabitants of his transcendental world, but somehow or other we got sidetracked here. We somehow got diverted by, you know, we dreamed that we were the Lord, and we're still dreaming it, actually. We're still dreaming that we're the Lord. That's why we're still here. So the mantra is an airplane that takes you out of this dream world that we're in right now into the actual real world of Krishna Bhakti. I see. Takes you back to your original identity in the spiritual world. And we shouldn't try to guess what that is. That's called sahaja. One who wants to immediately try to figure out who he is in the spiritual world, that's very counterproductive. Should not think that way. One should simply take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and understand that I'm the... Because even when you go back to Godhead, you'll be the eternal servant of that spiritual master, even in the spiritual world. So you should simply take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and then by following him, faithfully carrying out whatever instructions he gives you, then everything will come. You regain your original identity in the spiritual world. We shouldn't try to, you know, jump artificially to that position. Prabhupada says there's enough monkeys already in Vrindavan jumping from branch to branch. We don't need any jumping sahaja monkeys. We just need to become the sold-out servants of our spiritual master. That's all. And through this process, we're guaranteed to achieve the supreme destination. It'd be nice if some of you, the men, could move forward, because the latecomers, there'll be room for them. That would be good. So they won't be, you know, sitting back there in the hall. You can come further, Prabhu. Yeah, that's good. You can come further. That way there's plenty of room for the latecomers. That's good. So, this is a very good airplane, this Hare Krishna airplane. Hare Krishna Airlines, you know. We have the best food, Krishna Prasadam. We have the best in-flight entertainment, you know, Krishna's pastime, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Prabhupada's pastimes, all the wonderful ISKCON pastimes that are going on every day, you see. The deity worship, the preaching, the festivals, the book distribution, somebody wanted the home programs. You see, we're living in it. This is an ISKCON pastime right now. We're living in the middle of it. We get to be a part, just like in there was Chaitanya and Leela. This is ISKCON Leela, you see. These are transcendental pastimes, and by being in this movement, you get to participate in these transcendental pastimes, the ISKCON pastimes, which are a part of Chaitanya Leela. They're one branch of the Chaitanya Leela, actually. You see, Lord Chaitanya is actually present here. I saw him standing on the altar over there, the Lord Nityananda. So, all we have to do is, get on board, fasten our seat belts, and go for the ride back to home, back to God, and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Any other questions? You can ask for the sake of others also, even if you don't. See. Yeah.
Two questions. One question is that Prabhupada says that not all the paths won't lead to the same goal, and if so, if the Krishna Bhakta leads to the supreme goal, what category would all the other religions?
What category are the other religions in? Okay. Well, this is called a loaded question, because if I say what role the other religions play, then I'm immediately accepting that there are other religions. You see? Actually, there's no such thing as religions, plural. This is a man-made concoction. If I asked, what sun shines here in New Zealand? He said, it's the New Zealand sun. We have the best sun. It's better than the one in Australia. It's better than one in the U.S. We have the best sun here in New Zealand. It's the New Zealand sun. New Zealand sunrises are the best. The New Zealand sunsets. We have the best sun here in New Zealand. You see. I've been to Australia and it's not as good there. Their sun isn't as good as ours, you see. So this idea of different religions is a man-made concoction. There is no such thing as religions, plural, that is a man-made invention. Dharman, he said, please sit on this side so the latecomers will have some room. Don't block the hallway. You can even, if it gets crowded, you can even move in further, but we're okay so far. So, Bhagavatam says, Dharman hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Religion is given by God, and God, that doesn't say religions are given by God. Religion, singular, is given by God. You understand? So this idea of different religions is simply some, you know, that's pseudo-religion. It's not genuine religion. The word religion comes from the Latin word religere. Religere doesn't mean a sect. Religere means to reconnect. So if you're a religious person, you are reconnected with God. And if you're not a religious person, you are not reconnected. You're not connected with God. Whether you call God as Krishna or Christ or Jehovah. Now, Jesus Christ means the son of Christ. Christ is actually a surname. It's Jesus of the Christ. Jesus of the Christ, you see. Christ is actually a name for his father. So the son, just like my father, his name is Patel, so I'm also Patel. So Christ, Jesus' father's name is Christ, so he's also called Jesus Christ. So whether we say Christ or Allah or Jehovah or Krishna or Govinda, there's millions of names for God. There is one supreme source of all existence. There cannot be more than one supreme source of all existence. Well, however you designate that, that's another matter. But when one becomes reconnected with that supreme source of all existence, then he's religious. He's engaged in religion when he is reconnecting himself with that supreme source of all existence. The name is not the thing. The consciousness of devotion to that supreme source of all existence. That is the thing. So, if someone is a Christian and they're actually reconnecting with the source of all existence through loving devotion, then we accept them as the same. We don't discriminate, well, you're not chanting Hare Krishna, you're chanting the name of Christ, or you're chanting this name or that name. If anyone is chanting any bona fide name of God, if they're actually becoming saintly, by developing love for God, then we accept them as a Vaishnava, actually. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained in this way that all these other different, you know, religious systems, they are legitimate to the extent that they actually present the Vaishnava principles that we learn in the Vedas. To that extent, they're legitimate. And to the extent that they deviate, they're not legitimate. So when the Christians, you know, glorify God and they glorify the pure devotee of God, Lord Jesus, that's legitimate. But when they serve out meat dinners at the church, that's completely bogus. You see, completely bogus. So to some extent they are legitimate, and to some extent they are not. But this pathway as taught by Srila Prabhupada is 100% legitimate. Now, some ISKCON followers don't strictly follow Prabhupada's teachings. They are not legitimate completely. You know, like getting divorces and things like that. That's not Prabhupada. That's against Prabhupada's teaching. But the actual pathway given by Srila Prabhupada, that is pure religion. And it's original. That's absolutely pure religion, what Prabhupada has given. The system, as he has given us in his books, it is pure religion without any contamination. As described in the first canto, first chapter, second text of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmak prajjata kaitavotra padamo nirmat saranam sutam Vedam vastava mastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Kritang Vaiparishvaraha Sadhya Hridyavarujate Kritijibishu Shvushvishtachana. Completely rejecting all religion that is materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. As soon as one, what need is there for this Bhagavad Purana, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for self-realization. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the transcendental sound vibrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes solidly situated within his heart. So, note the first line, Dharmak Projata Kaitava Utpadamo Namatsaranam Sutam. Completely kicking out all this bogus so-called religion, you see. You know, turkeys on Thanksgiving. Well, you don't have Thanksgiving here, but you know, all this meat eating, and now they're, you know, they have homosexual bishops, you know. That's just completely bogus garbage. So promoting sense gratification and calling it religion. Bhagavatam really kicks out all this junk. It's completely bogus. So whatever they're doing, which is in accordance with Bhagavatam and Gita, that we recognize and we encourage them in them. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, do you have the Salvation Army here? No, it's only in the U.S., I guess. You do? Oh, okay. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the Salvation Army band is a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Of course, I don't know if they have the band. They used to have the bands. Now they just stand there and ring a bell, one person ringing a bell, because it's too expensive to put a band on the street. But they used to have a whole band out there singing Christmas carols and playing music in the old days, you know, during Bhaktivinoda's time. And when I was a small child also, I used to see. But now just one person ringing a bell. There's no band, no Christmas song, just one person ringing a bell. Kali Yuga. But the old days when they had a whole band, you know, singing Christmas carols, and he said, oh, this is a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. They're out on the streets singing and dancing the glories of God. So we appreciate if someone is singing and dancing the glories of God on the streets. That's very nice. Even if they're not, even if they go home and eat meat after it's, but still we, the good part we see, we appreciate, and we encourage them in them. And then we tell them, if they ask us, we, and sometimes if they don't ask us, we also tell them, but this meat eating thing is very bad, what you're doing. You have to give this up, because Christ says thou shalt, or actually Christ reaffirms the biblical principle, thou shalt not kill. So how you can eat. Prabhupada said, if they want to eat meat, let the animals die naturally. Then it's okay. let the cow die naturally. And then after she's died on the pasture peacefully, then you can eat her flesh if you're that greedy for flesh. You see?
I spoke to a Catholic person about it, and he said that we cannot argue on religion because the word of God is, the meanings are totally different from mundane.
What is it?
Like word of God. Like
the word of
like,
God.
Like thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
In Christianity, they in the commandments they say it's only for humans only.
Oh no! That's not true.
Yeah.
If you studied Hebrew.
No, I haven't.
Okay, and if you look in the Hebrew, it's originally in the Hebrew language. Lo tirzag. Lo tirzag refers to any kind of killing. If you study the Hebrew. You see, the original text is Hebrew, not English. If you study the original Hebrew, Lo Tirzag, you will see that it refers to all kinds of killing, not just human beings. And it doesn't say that. Thou shalt not kill, period. If the Bible had, if God, when he gave the commandments on the mountain to Moses, had wondered if it only applied to human beings, he would have said, thou shalt not kill human beings. That you are saying that it only means human beings, that is an interpretation. That's not what God said. God said, thou shalt not kill, period. You see? Thou shalt not kill, period. But now they've decided to retranslate it, thou shalt not murder. That's simply their cheating. Because actually, when Prabhupada exposed it, what they were doing, they would decide, hey, we better change. Now that Prabhupada has exposed our cheating, I think we better change the Bible. They went in and changed it after Prabhupada came. Thou shalt not murder. But actually, they're murdering the animals. What's the difference, killing or murdering? They're murdering these innocent cows. That's a fact. Their word jugglery will not save them at the time of death. Well, but we were guilty of killing, so we'll just change it to murder. But no, you're still murdering, rascal. You're murdering those innocent cows, so you have to take the karma. For every hair on that cow's body, you will suffer like anything. For each and every cow whose flesh you partook of, you will suffer like anything in the hellish worlds. Sorry. Any other questions? So now that we had our little informal session, now we'll go into the actual class.